Welcome to Crappy Friends, the soon-to-be-defunct podcast about female friendships. The good, the bad, the ugly.
It doesn't say that here. Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Music Today bestselling author Jess Day.
And we're best friends.
Yes.
And we will be long after this podcast.
Yes. The podcast will go. It's going to stay up. We won't be recording new
episodes. But we did get a slew of letters once we announced this.
Very nice. Some people were really sweet.
Really
and
lovely.
Some messages on Facebook. Very nice.
I know. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So we have a youth letter today. You know how I love the youth.
I do.
All right. Why don't you give it a read, Joss?
Okay. Hello, dearest ladies. I have a short but hopefully interesting letter for you today. In recent years, I've noticed a growing difference between myself and my best friend of many years. We're both in our late 20s and have very different life circumstances. She lives in a major city, has a job she doesn't particularly like, and enjoys an active social life. She's also in a dead-end relationship that she wants to leave and has wanted to leave for years. I do not live in a city and am happily married with children. I have a job I enjoy, and most of my time is spent with my young family. I don't really have an active social life.
God bless you, Glory.
Glory. I hope this doesn't come across as holier than thou, or like I'm saying my lifestyle is better than her lifestyle, but I've noticed that she seems very stuck in her circumstances and blames a lot of her problems on other people or her depression. She, on occasion, drinks heavily with her friends and does a lot of impulse shopping and doesn't really take care of herself very well. These attributes are not new. She's always been this way for a long time. And in addition to these less than ideal qualities, she's also intelligent, kind, loyal, beautiful, and very funny. I love her and I want to be friends with her for the rest of my life. But how am I supposed to continue an equal relationship when she's stuck at 21 and I'm old for my age? The issue is less of being in different stages, it's just that she's not growing up. I feel like there's a huge maturity gap between us, and as much as I love her and enjoy spending time with her, it is occasionally infuriating. I hope this makes sense. Please advise. Much love. Very, very mature friend.
LOL.
LOL. LOL.
Youth. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think stages have a bit to do with it. Some things force you to grow up faster.
Yeah.
It's marriage. It does.
Mm-hmm.
So she sounds like she'll be that person at 35 who finally gets it together.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully sooner. I mean, late 20s.
Yeah.
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 I do think that city life can keep you younger, mm-hmm. you know, because there are these opportunities to go, let's go to a martini bar, let's mm-hmm. go play ping pong at this new place. And there's just more opportunity to socialize,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you work and then you go out and you have fun
mm-hmm.
or you stay in your closet size apartment, and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
But I have some suggestions for very, very mature.
Okay.
I thought that when you get together, because they don't live close, right? Keep the focus on news and fun,
mm-hmm.
right? And if possible, like line up an activity, like go mini golfing or go to a museum,
mm-hmm.
So that you'll see, you can focus on something other than her problems.
Yeah. I wonder, is this friend like always talking about the stuff that she does in her 21-year-old phrase while the other friend is still sort of living her more mature life?
It says, you know, let's see. She seems stuck. And there's something about, like, she's had the same problems for a long way, a long time. So, I think it's been going on a while. Another tip, don't give advice.
Yeah, I would avoid that, too.
Mm.
And also, you know, people stay stuck. Sometimes a job will keep you stuck. And if she can't find something better, she'll sit in that. I did it. Sorry.
Yeah.
And you'll be miserable in that job forever.
The devil you know.
The devil you know. Until you get it together. And that takes, courage, actually, to be able to do that. Because it is about the devil you know.
Yeah, I do. I always say, when someone says, I'm stuck, and I'm still stuck, and here I am, another year later, stuck again,
mm-hmm.
still, I think one of two things. They don't actually want to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't want what they're saying they want. Maybe they're conditioned to say it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in this age, like, I'm supposed to get married and have kids, or I'm supposed to, you know, live in Europe for a year or something. And they, in their heart of hearts, maybe they don't want it. Mm-hmm. So they keep saying, this is what I want. But maybe they really just don't. And then the other thing would be that the fear that prevents them from going for it. And there's that, you know, you can't lose if you don't try.
That's that too, yeah.
So, like with this relationship, she can't have somebody great dump her.
Right.
If she's not dating somebody great.
That's right.
You know?
Right. And she can always say, well, I do have someone.
Right. Which is right. The security blanket.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think one of the things is, you know, you see her problems very clearly, letter writer, because you have some distance from her life. But you're not going to be able to fix her, even if she asks for your advice after all these years of friendship. Mm. Even so, you have to remember that it's her choice to be this way. And no matter what she says she wants, she's not going for it for her reasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned depression, and that definitely gets in the way of goals.
Yes, it does.
So be compassionate when she brings that up.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had depression, but, you know, it can be a major life issue. So you can just look at her with this kind expression and say, that sounds tough. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry you're going through this. What's your plan? Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry you feel stuck. Or, you know, I know you've been feeling that way for a year now, and I'm sorry. That's a long time to feel bad. Mm-hmm. And just kind of echo back her feelings and kind of acknowledge that it kind of sucks to be where she is. Mm-hmm. And you can also say, you know, it's hard for me to hear this, friend, mm-hmm. because I love you. And I think you're so wonderful. And it's hard for me to hear that you're stuck and to know that you're stuck because you have so much going on for you. But you're the one who has to believe that.
Yeah.
And I don't think I can help you get to that point. But I can remind you that I think you're great. Yeah, don't think you're her therapist, right? Yeah. As much common sense as you might have. Even her therapist can't change her.
No.
It's really only your friend who can change herself. And it sounds like your friend is always going to have a special place in your heart. And you'll always be capable of having great times together. But it also sounds like maybe you need to make friends with some people who have more in common with you. And this is not to say she's being replaced, but maybe you have friends for different purposes, like other mothers with young children or people who live in your town. And maybe that will soften your need for her to be more than she is right now. And she can stay your wild child city girl, but you can have a few other people to fill the gaps. Mm-hmm. And then I my last thing was hang in there, because chances are she will mature. Most people do. And 20s are the new teens, and letter writer, you sound like you are the exception to the rule in being an old soul.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. The only thing I'll add, as a person who was single in her late 20s and early 30s and 40s and now, is this is pretty standard. I did it. I partied and had a good time. Mm-hmm. And then finally I was like, oh, shit, I gotta pay my student loans. And, you know.
Right.
Shit catches up with you and you gotta like start to, but this is pretty normal.
Right.
It really is.
Most of us have had jobs we hated.
Yeah.
That didn't pay well.
Right.
When we were in our 20s, you know.
Drinking and having a good time. I mean, I think, letter writer, if you're very worried about her drinking, you can talk about that. The binge drinking could be problematic.
Yeah.
Depression shows up in a lot of weird ways, so just be cognizant of that. Like, if she's struggling to get out of bed, or she, you know, if she's in therapy and she's taking meds, she knows what depression does
to her. Yes,
yes. But yeah, it just sort of sounds like she's trying to live a little bit of a Sex in the City life.
Yeah.
And she's just not where you are. I'm telling you, marriage forces you to grow up. So do kids.
It does, yeah. When you're in a relationship where you have to compromise on things versus like dating somebody,
right.
It's completely different. You have to deal with somebody in your space,
right.
Things that you'll do together, joint purchases and how we pay off which debts and that kind of thing. And she's not there.
No.
You know, that's a very adult thing.
Exactly. But I would, if I were the letter writer, instead of offering advice on the man, who's maybe not the greatest, is on the job, because that's something she could actually change and improve. So, like, have her try and make moves to get a better job, because getting a better job is more fulfilling, and that will force you to be like, oh, now I'm making money. Maybe I could buy a house.
Right.
That's the kind of thing that really forces you to grow.
Or maybe I don't need to spend my off hours trying to erase the trauma of my work hours like you did, Joss, you know, with your horrible job.
Right.
You know, your downtime was all about recovering from your work time.
Yeah.
And there was no real days off,
right,
you know?
Right. So, yeah, you can probably focus on, I mean, because she doesn't like her job, so she's pretty interested, it seems, of getting a new one, better one.
Yeah.
Focus advice on that. Leave everything else. Because once the job falls into place, I'm telling you.
I'm going to say this, and I've been saying this to my nieces and my brother-in-law and pretty much every stranger I pass on the street. Become a 911 dispatcher. That is my new, like, unicorn of jobs.
Yeah.
If you're a calm person,
yeah,
and you can deal also with stupidity, because so many people, like, call 911 because, like, oh, my dog is limping. That's not, you know, it's not an emergency. You know, oh, how do I get my baby to burp, you know? But it's a very good paying job.
Yeah.
You are a first responder.
Yeah.
You have union benefits and pay.
Yep.
And I'm trying to get one of my nieces in particular, just so unflappable. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to take a pulse on her sometimes,
because
she never has a meltdown. She never has a freak out. She just sort of rolls her eyes and walks out of the room.
Oh,
and perfect. she would be the best 911 dispatcher,
yeah,
you know. And I'm saying, you know, hey, honey, you know, they're hiring here, they're hiring there, and but I'm her aunt, so what do I know?
Yeah.
You know? If her friend told her, she'd be like, oh, a 911 dispatcher. Exactly. I've never heard of this job before.
Exactly. Yeah, I believe that.
But yeah, so maybe your friend, letter writer, wants to be a 911 dispatcher. Just putting it out there.
Yeah.
To the youths who listen and who are wondering what to do with their lives.
That's true.
That's an avenue you should look into.
Yeah.
So I hope that helps. Mature friend, and I hope that you guys are friends for decades more.
Same.
Yes.
Same indeed.
So that was a pretty an amazing, embarrassing personal problem.
Yes, we do. I'm gonna read the whole thing.
Do you mind? Do you mind
if I read? Yes.
Dear ladies, I have enjoyed your podcast. I am sorry to hear you are not going to continue. I would like to suggest that you have a podcast for embarrassing personal problems. Like, you know, I'm really tempted all of a sudden. This EPP is not mine, but I thought you might find it interesting/funny, or at least the mental picture would be funny. We have a longtime family friend whose ex-mother-in-law had bathroom issues. Already it's good.
Yeah.
And would carry Kmart bags in her purse for emergencies.
Stop. No.
Well, her son had died, and on the way to the cemetery in the limo, just such an emergency occurred.
Oh, no.
Picture, if you will, an old lady straddling a Kmart bag in a limo. The people in the limo with her were gagging. I'm so sorry to laugh. She's on her way to her son's funeral. She can do whatever she wants.
But yes.
You
gotta have not in that limo with her. That would have been horrible. Oh my gosh.
I definitely would have been in the limo with her.
No.
Reassuring her that, no, it happens to everyone.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, open all the windows. Open them all.
Pull over, sir.
Yes.
We can walk to the cemetery from here.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. Oh, God bless. I hope that, I hope she's doing better.
I mean, I'm trying, you know, it's funny, but I'm advancing in age, and I'm worried about that kind of, you know, not having any control over my bowels.
Now you know what you can do.
Joss, what are all those plastic bags in your purse?
Oh, come on, do you remember the EPP where the woman, there was one bathroom, and she relieved herself into a plastic bag and then left it on the counter.
Tied it up and forgot it on the counter.
Yeah. She didn't want to be rude and go into her roommate was showering. She had to go poo, so yeah. She didn't want to be rude.
Yes.
Unfortunately, yeah. I do think she went back for the poo.
Did she go back?
I think she did.
I mean,
can you imagine driving to work and then, oh my God.
No, I'm so frightened of that happening to me.
Oh, yeah, we were just discussing.
My jumping jacks.
Jumping jacks.
Jump fart. Had to stop because it was too much.
Stop, right.
Yeah, and you never know when it's more than just a fart.
Especially when you're in like a state of physical exertion.
Yes.
You know, because sometimes things just let go.
They do. And I felt very bound by my sports bra, which I couldn't get off until I got home.
Thank you so much for sending that in. That is one for the ages. Yes. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, check out our book, Crappy Friends, The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship.
Send your friendship letters to the ladies at crappyfriends.net.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.